This is the JetBlue Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady empty backfield, shotgun, time to throw toward the end zone. Touchdown, Rob Gronkowski.
The pregame social is the world's biggest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Back-to-back world championships, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Paul Perillo and Andy Hard of Patriots Football Weekly are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots are in the nation's capital to square off with the 4-8 Washington Redskins.
Brady takes the snap. Looks, fires, ends up. Yeah! Touchdown! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
Now, Paul and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the JetBlue Patriots pregame social.
Very excited for another early edition of the JetBlue Patriots pregame social here in the Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, 10:45 start for the 1 o'clock kickoff. Andy, life doesn't get better than this.
Well, it could get better if we had brunch in front of us.
10 o'clock start, 10 a.m. start might be a little bit
better. No, that's a little early.
That's cutting it.
We'd be doing this show at, what, 7:45?
Yeah, never mind. We're doing quite well. One of the things that's going to come up again on this show, which seems to be becoming a recurring theme now, our new game, Andy, Guess the Final Inactive. Because we seem to have all the inactives. We have 5 of them official, and we assume Ryan Mallett will be one. So it's Guess the Final Inactive. Any early leaders in the clubhouse for you? I'm sorry, I hit you out of left field with that one. That's my bad.
An offensive lineman.
Yeah. Makes sense. Donald Thomas, Ryan Wendell.
Yeah.
Although they were both active last week, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Sean Ellis. How's that?
No.
Sean Ellis, not happy, by the way. Did you see some of the quotes by him?
The only way he's inactive, I think, is if he has one of those Friday hamstrings. They forgot to add him to the injury report with a hamstring like they did with Jermaine Cunningham.
So I'm glad that you brought that up, because we probably should, because Roster Report podcast on Friday did not have the most up-to-date information, because they made several moves yesterday, and one of which you sort of alluded to with your late-week hamstring pull. Jermaine Cunningham showed up on the injury report on Friday with a hamstring pull, was listed as doubtful for the game. Well, now he's really doubtful because he was placed on IR on Saturday.
Now he's doubtful to ever play for this team again.
In addition to that, defensive back Sterling Moore, who had started a couple of games at safety against the Jets on the Sunday night game, the big Sunday night win, he was released. So evidently it did not work out for Sterling Moore. In their place, Eric Moore, old friend, defensive lineman, gave us a little bit of a pass rush around this time last year.
Indeed.
He's back after getting cut during the at the end of training camp. And Malcolm Williams, 7th-round pick out of TCU, who's been on and off the practice squad really all season, elevated from the practice squad to the active roster.
Special teamer.
Yes. Didn't even play cornerback.
In college
at TCU. So,
has Eric Moore been playing? I wasn't. He's a UFL guy. Yes, last year. Did he do any UFL this year?
Looks like he has not been playing. No.
They're just looking for a spack.
Played in 4 games with 3 starts last season for the Patriots, finished with 13 tackles, 2 sacks, went to training camp with the Patriots, but was released September 3rd.
Along those lines, trivia question, Paul Perillo and all our PPGS listeners. You know how many starters this team has used on defense this year? What do you think?
21.
You'd be under.
25.
27. 27 starters and 10 different starting lineups in 12 games. They had one little 3-game stretch in the middle of the year where they actually used the same starting lineup. But 27 players.
That's a lot.
It's more than half the roster.
And that's
not good.
It's not good, and it's not all injury-related either.
No, God, no.
So there's some, you know, still some work to be done on that side of the ball with Bill Belichick, and he's still searching. I think that's part of what we saw in the fourth quarter. And I think that's part of the reason.
Cost Sterling Moore his job.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason he was so upset. Because make no mistake about it, he was really, really upset after that game last week. And that seems to be the focus this week is 60 minutes. Start fast, finish strong. And they didn't do either one of those things last week. I'd expect them to.
They were really good in the middle.
They were dominant
against
in the
a winless team and a winless quarterback.
28-0 in the middle, but You know, you like to see if you could get off to a better start and certainly a better finish. The finish was abysmal. As we do every week, though, early in the show, we have a couple of things we'd like to get out of the way. First of all, this is your show. It's an interactive show for the fans.
By the fans.
Again, we like to point out the irony of that Andy and I are involved in it. But be that as it may, it is the fan show.
I love the fans.
So a lot of different ways you can participate in our show. Easiest one is to email us at webradio@patriots.com. Again, webradio@patriots.com. Over on the Facebook page, we want to see your photos of your tailgates. If you're down in Washington, especially, we want to see how you're getting ready for this game at FedEx Field. So send us the photos, and we'll get them up on the Facebook page. But I'm sure you're listening to us via Facebook, which is always a trick, because it seems to be that like the technology changes or improves every week.
The technology does not keep up with our talents, Paul Perillo.
You can also give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, Andy, 508-298-0398. So those phone lines are open. You want to get on that, and maybe you can even beat Jeff in Vegas. He's always our first phone call, but maybe you can get in before him.
Many listeners are crossing their fingers. Somebody beat Jeff in Vegas.
Absolutely. So those are all the ways. And, again, I don't want to forget about the Andy Hart favorite, the Twitter feed.
PPGS.
You want to give us the hashtag PPGS. That'll show it strong for Andy Hart. And he will read those tweets throughout the course of the day. And
Right now, where musical refugee heard through the grapevine that he played with the Destroyers in the UFL this season. Have not corroborated that fact.
It does not say that on the official press release, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
No, it does not. And the converse of that is always true. Things that aren't that are on there aren't always true.
It does mention his time in the UFL last year with the Florida Tuskers. I remember that. But I don't see anything regarding...
Destroyers?
Yeah, regarding anything this year.
It's just a report on the internet.
So maybe he gives you a little bit of a fresh legs and gives you a pass rush like he did last season. Showed the ability to get after the passer. Maybe they're starting to get a little, you know, those old legs, maybe they're starting to get a little bit worn down late in the season here.
Doesn't excite me.
I didn't say it should excite you.
No, but I think he was fine last year. He was competitive, made a couple plays. You're right, had a little spark there. I'd rather get that in the secondary, a little spark. The pass rush has not been great, and they haven't, as Mike Giardi puts it, sniffed a quarterback in 2 weeks. But I feel better about Mark Anderson and Andre Carter and some of the guys up front than I do about anybody in the back end.
I agree with that, and I just to finish up the transactions roster manipulations, on Friday, Sebastian Vollmer was ruled out. On Saturday, in addition to putting Jermaine Cunningham on IR, four additional players were ruled out, including Andy Patrick Chung, which I think is to the point now where we're wondering what's going on. Patrick Chung, Dan Conley, Brandon Spike, Shane Vereen, all out for the game. Chung, and this came up in the 98.5, the Sports Hub pregame show. Do you have any more concern, or are you wondering any questions about this? You go back as far as the Jets game, the first game that he missed. He was on the field taking part in pregame warmups, ostensibly to see if he could play. 5 weeks later, he's still not able to get back in the lineup. What do you make of that?
I don't think he should have been out there warming up that day, but I don't have huge concerns long term, just because he's been on the practice field and I've seen him. And he doesn't, you know, for a foot injury, you'd think if it were that major, I'd be able to at least tell the eyeball test that he was in some sort of pain, some sort of limp, and none of that has existed. So maybe they're being overly cautious. Maybe he did have a little longer period of recovery here than they expected. But I don't think it's something right now that I say he will not be available at some point in the next couple weeks and into the postseason.
All right, before we get to
got
Andy.
Another follow-up that he did indeed in October play for the Virginia Destroyers.
Oh, good. Before we get to Andy Hart's update on Fantab that we do at the top of every show,
Fantabulous.
I'm ready for the monkey in the booth, Kevin, to let us know about our first poll of the day on the Facebook page.
And it has to do with injuries yet again here, Paul. It's which Patriot injury concerns you the most heading into today's game, and we have Chung, Vollmer, Spikes, and Connolly listed here as our options.
Andy, you like to declare the winner.
Chung.
Polls. Chung. Okay.
Chung.
I would agree. I hate when we agree.
Because I think you need him the most. You have the least amount of depth at the position. And I think when you're facing a versatile running back like Roy, you want a guy that can not only chase him in the run, but also help chase him in the passing game. He's, I think, active now. He might be their second leading receiver with Fred Davis suspended. Roy Alou with his 42 catches, maybe
their second
leading
receiver.
Yeah, he's
up there with Gaffney and those guys. Yeah, they have, they're pretty balanced with their catches. I think Davis was in the low 50s, and they had a bunch of guys in the high to mid 40s.
You know what that tells me? They stink.
They don't have a lead guy.
They stink.
So that's where we're going. We're talking about the injuries. We're talking about the matchups. I'm really interested in this Washington game, what people think are the matchups, because it's amazing how little talk we've had about the Redskins throughout the week on PFW in Progress. And, you know, even on Friday, Bill Belichick, I don't think Bill Belichick mentioned the 2011 Redskins once during his press conference, which is a little bit surprising. But before we get more into that, Andy, why don't you give us an update on Fantab.com?
Fantab.com. We need people to sign up, and I urge you to get over there. Interesting, we have a popular team right now. Atop the AFC East, the New England Patriots have an average fan confidence rating of 91. It's actually up 3 points in the last 24 hours, so fans are feeling pretty good about this Washington game and where the team is headed. Or maybe they were excited that they cut Jermaine Cunningham. Maybe that gave them a little bit of a boost in how they're feeling. But, you know, 10 points ahead of the New York Jets, although the Jets are on the rise. Their fans have a 9-point gain in the last 24 hours for the New York Jets, up to 81. But Patriots still well ahead. But I would urge fans, get over to FanTab, sign up, and get your opinion heard. You know, this is a place where you can legitimately, during the game, before the game, after the game, change your opinion three times if you want, if Brady gets hurt or if somebody gets hurt and something changes for you, the way you view this football team. But get over there. You can sign up using your Twitters and your Facebooks and all your social media crap that everybody loves these days, especially, you know, the Patriots pregame social, where we are all about the social media. But yep. The Patriots right now, I can't urge fans to get over there and raise the rating, because I think low 90s is where you should be at. You're one of the best teams in football.
Act like it.
Competing for the best team in the AFC. Other teams have warts just like you.
Yeah.
But you certainly shouldn't be the odds-on favorite right now to win the Super Bowl when you have a defense that has started 27 players and is cutting starters week to week and putting special teamers on the field week to week. So 91. Good job, fans. That's a solid rating.
Andy's Check every week is brought to you by FanTab, and that's where you go to track fan confidence. So I agree with you, Andy. I think that's indicative of where the Patriots fans should be thinking and how they should be thinking. I'm just curious as to why this game is everybody really that excited about Denver and Tebow that this game just doesn't really matter? Because we've been hard-pressed all week. You said it, too. All week long on PFW in Progress, we haven't gotten 5 calls in 3 days on the Redskins specifically.
More importantly, give a little inside business information here in the sports media business. Paul was scheduled to do Comcast Sportsnet New England on Thursday night. I was scheduled to do Friday, and both of us got bumped because they decided to go all Celtics. With the NBA lockout over and training camps opening, the home network of the Boston Celtics decided they needed to drum up some interest in the local team and everything that's going on as they try to build a roster here. And we got bumped off TV. No one apparently wanted to hear about or talk about the New England Patriots game. And I think it's you know, clear, as you said, that that's true. You know, I didn't hear a lot of talk on local talk radio. I didn't hear it with us. You know, it's not an intriguing game for some reason for a lot of people. I kind of agree. Because you're facing Rex Grossman.
Andy, we're hosting a pregame show.
We can talk all Patriots here. It's not just about today's game. I think there's limited matchups that intrigue you. I think there's limited talent on the other team. And I do think people, all the talk was about the flexing of the Tebow game and God in a uniform is Tim Tebow. I think people are looking ahead a little bit.
I would admit that the Denver game is far more intriguing because of all those external factors, the flex, the Tebow, the God versus God. And all that stuff. But, and this is going to sound like it's one of those manufactured talk radio things, but you and I really disagree on this. This is not something we're fabricating. I think Washington has some pieces that could cause some problems. I don't think the Patriots will lose this game, and I really don't think they're going to be in danger of losing it. But I think it's going to be a much tougher game than most do, and certainly much tougher than Andy does.
Well, yeah. I think they have 3 players that are good, and if those 3 players make this competitive, then this football team in New England is not nearly as good as I expect it to be. because I think other than the two pass rushers, I think they're legit, Kerrigan and Arakpo, and I think Alou is a nice little player. He's showing himself a productive player.
But you don't think that Rex Grossman has the ability to throw the football well enough that he can get the ball to guys like Gaffney or Armstrong or Moss?
Maybe. But as I said earlier in the week on PFJ in Progress, I think the issue with him is he fancies himself a gunslinger. He's more confident than his talent should suggest.
That's
and
one reason
I think
why
these
they
quarterbacks that don't try to make plays, that just take what the defense gives, are successful against the Patriots. I think if you try to make plays, you're going to make mistakes, because I think this defense gives you enough plays that you don't need to try to make plays. Take the plays when they give them to you, and I think we've seen those types of guys have success against them. I don't know that he's capable of doing that. I think he feels pressure. I think, you know, if Brady scores on the first drive, then I think he feels like, oh, I got to make a play here, whereas some of these other guys don't feel that way. I don't think Dan Orlovsky felt that way one bit last week. And I think
maybe if he had, they would have won the game.
Well, no, I don't hold the game plan against him one bit.
No, I'm not.
If he checks out of running plays, I think he'll be off the field.
I'm not blaming him specifically. I'm saying had they come in with a more aggressive
approach.
He can
only, when he drops back to pass, he can only run the play that's called.
Yeah,
that's who
no,
you are, Dan Orlovsky.
They
decided they were going to run the ball 35 times a game.
My direction of that. I'm not directing that toward Dan Orlovsky. He did exactly what I'm saying. If they had a more aggressive approach.
Right. If they had let him drop back more, he would have had more yards and more success. I think Rex Grossman, the more they allow him to drop back, I think he'll make plays for the other team. I mean, he's a guy with he's not even at 69 passer rating.
No, he is
more
what
he touchdown,
is.
I mean,
he's
more interceptions
he's
than
an
touchdowns.
Inconsistent guy who is, this is what he is at this point. He's not going to all of a sudden say, well, he's really learned, he's developed, and he's not making those mistakes that once derailed his career. No, he is what he is at this point.
Overconfident Jag.
He's going to make mistakes. He's going to give the Patriots at least two or three opportunities to pick passes off today. Whether or not they do so remains to be seen. They've done a very good job of taking advantage of those.
Especially Kyle Arrington.
Your favorite, the Magnet.
That's
the new nickname for Kyle Arrington, the Magnet.
Just saying, the league might want to look into it.
So I agree with you. I think the Patriots will win the football game, and I don't think they'll be in trouble. When Dan Orlovsky and Tyler Palko have reasonable amounts of success throwing the football, I can't sit there and say, well, I don't worry at all about Rex Grossman. I do think he's a guy who has had some success in the NFL, certainly a lot more than those two guys had.
Oh, God, yeah.
Now, ultimately, he'll lose because he'll make a mistake. But I think he's capable of going out there and completing a good percentage of passes and moving the ball down the field and putting some points on the board. I don't think it'll be enough to match wits with Tom Brady. And I'll tell you, the tight ends, to me, Andy, are just becoming more and more fascinating every week. Gronkowski, with the plays that he's made and the improvement that he's made off of an already great rookie season, he's become dominant so fast. You were as high on him as anyone. Did you envision this kind of stardom for him this quickly?
I mean, I don't think anybody could have. I don't think his mother could have, or his father, or anybody who thought he was the greatest thing in the world. But I think you saw, first and foremost, you saw he can catch the football. He has great hands. He was a smooth route runner who could catch the ball. And to me, yes, that made him a guy you could say he could have success early, because we saw them work so hard over the years to make Daniel Graham, make Ben Watson, make them impact players, and they couldn't. Because why? They had a fatal flaw. They couldn't catch the football consistently. And if you're working with Tom Brady, that's a fatal flaw.
Fatal flaw. When you're a receiver and you can't catch the ball.
So to see a guy like this with the hands, beyond all the other stuff, the size, the athletic ability, anything, he had the hands. They throw him the football, he's going to catch it. That's a huge first step towards being a favorite of Tom Brady. And then you mix in, well, he just happens to be 6'6", 260, in a tough matchup for anybody, especially in the red zone. That leads yourself to the production, but no one could have envisioned him being this good this fast.
And in addition to having just, a matchup nightmare for anybody at any strength, the Redskins are dealing with LaRon Landry is out. He's got a groin problem. He missed the Jets game last week. He was declared out early in the week by Mike Shanahan, and he is, in fact, out. And O.J. Otagwe, their other safety, has been banged up a little bit. He had a knee injury, he had a toe injury. He went last week against the Jets, but he's not at 100%, even though he is not really listed on their injury report, and he will play. I think at full strength, those guys would have their hands full with these two tight ends, Hernandez and Gronkowski.
I think they're two of the more overrated
safeties in
football.
Now you're dealing with, like, Reed Dowdy, I think, is one of the backups, and and a rookie whose name I feel like Bill right now, a rookie whose name escapes me, the other guy at the other safety, but the other backup safety,
DeJohn Gomes.
Yeah, that sounds like him.
Well, that's the rookie who backs up at safety, so I think
it's
probably him.
Yeah, that sounds like him. So I just don't see them having an answer for that, and that right now is, to me, the strength of the Patriots' offense. So I see your point about Grossman sort of feeling the pressure to keep up with Tom Brady and succumbing to that and saying, I can do it. I'm as good as Brady. I could see him doing that. You know, he's too confident for his own
good.
I could see him doing that. I could see him saying, I can keep up with Brady. I can match points. This is where I'm going to prove all those guys wrong. You know, I can match up with Brady, and he can't. You know, bottom line is he can't. And the other thing.
Plus, I think their corners aren't very good. No. I think D'Angelo Hall is, you know.
Trick or treat at best.
A rich man's Otis Smith or whatever. You see these games on highlights. Oh, he's got three interceptions. Well, they threw the ball right to him. Do you watch the games where he's getting toasted or where he's losing his cool?
And he can make some plays, but
I think he's
going to
get embarrassed by Tom Brady and Wes Welker and the guys on this offense. I think you will see him toasted.
I think if they put a guy like that, locked him up and said, man to man, you covered Deion Branch, I think you could take Branch out of the game. But
no offense, I think you could take Branch out of the game.
But if they do different, well, that's disrespectful. If they do different
to you
things,
or Branch,
to Branch. I mean, come on, I'm a cripple. I can barely move.
I think if you put anybody man to man against him,
Thursday night, my old man
that
league,
person wins.
Third trip down the court, my right knee started hurt. Like my right knee. I mean,
how much you think his right knee, left knee, left hip hurt?
It was my left Achilles I blew out, and all of a sudden my right knee starts to hurt.
Yeah. Man-to-man, I don't think Deion Branch is beating anybody.
Well, but that's my point, and I think he's capable of having success, against some players, but I don't think he consistently will shut. Like, if you asked him to do the same thing to Wes Welker, I don't think he could do it.
Toast City.
And I think Welker is a guy who struggles against tight man coverage as well. But
luckily, D'Angelo Hall's not big on tight man coverage.
Hall would lose him a couple of times. And the other part with the Redskins that we haven't even talked about yet is they're missing two, you know, huge pieces on offense with their tight end Fred Davis, who is already working alone because Chris Cooley's been out pretty much all season, and they're starting left tackle Trent Williams, who's replaced by Andy?
Sean Locklear.
Sean Locklear. I remembered Locklear this time. I couldn't remember
if it
was Scott or Sean.
Maybe by the time the game's over, you'll remember both. We can move on to the Broncos.
I doubt it. And I need my Broncos depth chart.
I think you will know the name Sean Locklear after this game because I think Andre Carter's going to make
him famous.
You think
you'll be seeing Locklear a lot?
I think Andre Carter is going to have a big game. He didn't say anything wrong this week or overly bombastic. I got the feeling he really wants to show up this week and show the Redskins, his former team, that he is far from done. He can get into the double-digit sack range. He's going against a backup left tackle. I think there's a lot to like in that matchup on the edge there for Andre Carter.
So a good setting of the table here. I want to get more into the Redskins because we really haven't done any Redskins talk all week. So
this is
the place to do it. Is there anything about the Redskins that concerns you? Any matchup? I mentioned a couple. Andy poo-pooed them.
I didn't poo-poo any.
No, you do. You do. You did.
There's three matchups that concern me. Arakpo. I don't want to see Matt Light get Arakpo'd, which is another term for sack if you watch the Geico commercials. Ryan Kerrigan worries me in a matchup of rookies on the other side. The guy the Patriots fans wanted, Ryan Kerrigan, or some Patriots fans, versus the guy Patriots fans got in Nate Solder on that edge, and then Roy Alou. I don't feel good about Roy Alou because I still don't trust the tackling on this defense. Whether he's catching the ball out of the backfield, whether he's cutting it back, one cut, you know, all these Shanahan family offensive schemes they like to run.
Right.
They find these running backs. Don't expect him to disappear just because he's a fourth-round pick. That's what the Shanahans do. They create these running backs, and they're good for a couple of years. This guy's going to be a 1,000-yard rusher in the league.
Oh, I think he's a very good player. I just don't worry as much about the running game specifically with
Well, it's both with
Patriots.
It's the run and the pass.
That's,
the change of pace back
different.
Is their starting back. So on any down, you have a dangerous playmaker on the field because it's not a case where the lead back comes off and he comes down, and now Mayo has to be, you know, the linebacker safety. They need to be aware of it on every play.
Let's check in with our first trip to the Ace Ticket Hotline and find out what the numbers say in Vegas with Jeff. Jeff, how are you? Jeff?
Are you alive?
Hello, hello.
The business finally caught up to him.
I think they got to him.
They got him.
They got to him.
Are we talking they as Patriots fans who hate him, or are we talking they as the mob?
Oh, there he is.
You know, guys, still here, still alive and well, fending off the haters. But bring them all on. Bring on all comers.
I thought some of your former neighbors in the mean streets of Linfield got to you.
Yeah. Yeah, Linfield, Mass. There's a lot of nouveau riche there. New money is what Linfield is known for, incidentally. And yeah, very interesting, Paul, that you have that you're right on that PPD line. That is a nice little area by where you are as well.
No, I'm on the bad side of tracks. But anyway,
yeah.
What do you got?
Anyway, yeah. Yeah, anyhow, it's really, Vegas is buzzing about this game, believe it or not. It's a really interesting matchup. You know, finally, Tim Tebow at Denver. Wait a minute, we have to go through the Washington Redskins before we get to the Denver Broncos. We're playing the Redskins, that's right.
All right, so?
Joking, guys. Everyone's looking so far ahead to this Washington game. The numbers are quite interesting, though, here with the Redskins. Opened New England -8. Ton of New England money, it's up to -9.5, and then total start at 46.5, up to 47.5.
Okay, so what are you doing?
9.5, 47.5, is that what you're saying?
As of this moment, yes.
Okay, and the play is?
I'll make it short and sweet, and that brings us right to the Jeff Money Smart Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
What do you
got? Find myself in a place I kind of don't mind being that much, and that is with a total agreement with Andy Hart.
Okay.
New England big this week. Belichick is annoyed about the 21 unanswered points that the Colts put up at the end of the game. He has a gentleman's agreement with Mike Shanahan. Belichick and Brady are going to run it up as much as they possibly can.
So you think the over and the Patriots?
Yeah, I don't really have a strong feeling on the over, believe it or not. What was Eric saying about the field, or they put this logo at midfield? How do we know how fast the track is today?
Well, Eric did tweet indeed. That's at PFW Eric, if our listeners want to follow him, and make sure you include all your hashtags PPGS. Eric did indeed tweet that they resodded the very center of the field, apparently overnight, where the Redskins logo is.
Wow.
I'm a little dubious of that, and it concerns me when I go by Eric's tweets. I don't know if maybe he's mistaking a paint job for resodding. They left the end zones with Army-Navy in them. But it's interesting that there is a lot of talk of the field because of that big battle.
Yeah, and the one player that might give me pause is Jabbar Gaffney. I know he wants to have a big day today, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm sure he does, but it's always dangerous when you pick the wide receiver to have a big day when you don't have confidence in the quarterback that he plays with, and I think that's where you're left if you're a Redskins fan. What do I have at quarterback? Even though Grossman has, you know, kept them in games, and he's certainly better than Beck, I just find it hard to believe, even against this defense, that, you know, Rex Grossman, Jabbar Gaffney duo is going to beat you.
Yeah, I do not trust Rex Grossman in the least, especially with a street free agent Belichick defense. I did get New England -8 earlier in the week, went up to -9.5, so I actually bought the hook up to 10. Technically, I'm trying to middle this game. I've got New England -8 and then Washington +10. But for the sake of the show, I'm going with Andy. New England big. I don't have a real feeling on the total, so we'll just leave it at that, trying to middle it. And I don't know, maybe slightly toward the under. Just I'm going to go with my gut that, you know, natural service might not be a gigantically high-scoring game.
All right, Jeff. I appreciate it.
We'll
talk to you on Tuesday when you're swimming in it.
Thanks,
good.
Jeff.
Andy, take care. Bye.
Interesting, because
I would take the over.
No, well, I mean, out in Vegas, you know, usually there's some buzz about all the games, and
right.
We talked about how there's been no buzz here. Well, there's no buzz there either. Everybody's talking about Denver. It's going to be interesting to see how that game is played. Normally, at this time of year, you know, Andy and I, we go in the locker room every, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Eric is even there on Mondays, sometimes when they have open locker rooms, sometimes they don't. At this time of year, it sort of gets a little tedious. The players become fewer and farther between to talk to, and there's not a lot of people in there that really want to say anything. Generally, at this point, you kind of heard it all. Would you agree, Andy?
Yes.
In terms of the locker room. I mean, they're talking about one game at a time, and the other team is the greatest team ever, and you get 12, 13 games into the season, you pretty much heard every cliche that you're going to hear.
Even when it's a terrible team, such as the Colts, and you know they're not as bad
as their
record.
As bad. I mean, you put on the tape.
Yeah, they're going to play.
The tape. Yeah. It's amazing they haven't won more games. That's what you get, and you kind of get tired of it, and you do what you need to do to get by every week, both the players and the media. But I'm really curious as to how that locker room will be next week in dealing with this Tebow mania, to see how they respond to that, because you know that they're not going to like it.
I'm also curious. I agree, they will not like it. But I'm curious to see how Bill handles next week in some ways, because we know his affinity for Tim Tebow and the offense and what he did at Florida, and you know, the Wildcat and the read option and the double, you know, everything. But now he's going to face it, and I can't imagine he loves the hype it's getting. So I think it'll be interesting to see how he handles what his message is next week going up against that offense and the option. And I also think it's interesting to see how, you know, the Patriots are very good against the run. I have no qualms saying they can shut down most running games. This isn't an average running game. This is not the same. This is, you know, pitch responsibilities and relationships and the reads. So it's involving the defensive linemen, the corners, the linebackers. You know, I think there's a lot. This isn't your average week, but I still think they'll shut down the running game of Tim Tebow. But I agree with you. I think next week, the way they handle this game in the media and in the conversations leading up to it will be interesting.
So not only are we complaining that no one's talking about Washington, now it's taken us just the large part of one segment for us to sort of dismiss the Redskins.
I'm intrigued by today's game because I think it's going to be a fun game for Patriots fan. I think they're going
to
get
the game. You think
there's
going to be some video game-like numbers?
I don't know about video game-like,
well,
but I think
five touchdowns is possible.
Well, that's only 35 points.
No, well, for Brady.
Right, that's only 35 points.
Well, what about, like, you know, no rushing touchdowns?
There may not be. There may be. I don't know.
All right.
But for this team, I certainly don't think five touchdowns is a wow game.
No, but if I would assume that you're going to rush for one or two as
maybe.
Well.
Maybe.
Five touchdown passes to me is a wow.
Records?
By the way, five touchdown passes to me is a wow game.
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
It does. But
you're facing bad safeties and bad corners,
it
happens.
It's not every week. Anyway, we will continue to talk about the Redskins and figure out some of these matchups. A little bit later on, we are going to talk to Mike Jones of the Washington Post.
Cool.
To get his take on the Redskins.
See if we can continue our streak of the opposing writer picking the Patriots.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. But I also want to continue your interaction. This is your show, people. Get me the emails. Give us a shout out on the Ace Ticket Hotline and make sure you hit up the Facebook page. Send in some photos and we'll be right back.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy £3 and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee?
Yeah.
Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football.
and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y,
right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Welcome back to the JetBlue Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Paul and Andy from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Andy Hart and I spent the large majority of the first segment of the JetBlue Patriots pregame social talking about how no one's really worried at all about the Washington Redskins. And perhaps this email here that we got from Josh in Maryland, by the way. So if anyone would know, he's down there and he would know if the Redskins are worthy of any thought or worry. He is first up this week on the email list, and he has no questions whatsoever about the Redskins, Andy. It's all about the future. Of the New England Patriots. When Bill Belichick retires, he wants to know, who do you think will replace him? I think it'll be Bill O'Brien. I hope it's Chris Peterson, but that's a long shot, and I doubt he even wants to coach in the NFL. That leads to my next question. Who will replace Brady? Hoyer will be a restricted free agent, and Mallett is not as good as I thought. Will it be either of them or a rookie? A veteran signing? I know this won't matter for a while, but it's always fun to think about. I agree that it's fun to think about, and that's why I read the email. Do you have any thoughts? Chris Peterson, he's the head coach at Boise State.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be him.
I don't think it'll be him either. But do you think Bill O'Brien is head coaching timber? I think he's a little volatile for that.
He is a little volatile, but you know,
I'd love to see it.
A lot of coaches
are
volatile. You know, just because we're used to stone face here in New England, a lot of coaches are volatile.
You don't have to take it to a nasty place.
Stoneface is nasty?
Yeah, it's kind of.
It's
got a little tone there.
Well, I didn't mean to be.
It was more of a tonality issue, I think.
It was more along my lines of the truth is never mean, and he's a stone face. So
yeah, I know we've discussed your whole truth is never mean thing. You know, it's not always accurate.
Okay, sorry, Bill.
All right.
But stoic, is that same as stone-faced, but with a positive spin?
Stoic is a much better. See, there's no tonality there.
Stoic, stone-faced Bill Belichick.
Snippily
I think
snipped.
I think there's a lot of volatile coaches out there. I still think Bill O'Brien has quite a bit to prove, and my guess would be no. He would not be the head coach. I think Robert Kraft would be looking for somebody
with
head coaching experience, a little more cachet. Especially, now maybe I'm wrong in this, and I know owners get in trouble when they look at names when they hire rather than, you know, abilities and resumes. But if you lose Belichick and Brady at a similar time, that's a major overhaul for a team to go through. That is a major, major change in terms of not just football, but getting people to buy your tickets and marketing and luxury suites and club seats. And I think Robert might be looking for a good coach, a guy he believes can do the job, who also has a little cachet. And right. I'm not sure Bill O'Brien has cachet.
No, I agree with you. I love Bill O'Brien, and I think that he's a pretty innovative guy offensively. Mm-hmm. I think he's been very imaginative, despite some of the criticism that he occasionally receives. But I kind of agree with you. I think that Mr. Kraft would probably look more toward an experienced head coach, at least at some level.
I've got to interrupt you real quick.
Oh,
just
by all means.
The final inactives have been announced by Real Patriot, and Gerard Warren and Ryan Mallett are your final inactives, in addition to Vollmer, Chung, Conley, Spikes, Vereen.
Just so you know, I was kind of close with my Sean Ellis.
Yeah.
I thought defensive line was an area.
You just got the guy who's been playing more lately than the other guy.
I got the wrong one.
Because I think Warren's played more than he came into the game last week more often than Ellis did.
Certainly did.
But they decided that they were going to go with the... A friend of mine actually just tweeted, hey, I just saw Sean Ellis fishing on the bridge, which, you know, is probably the most anyone's really seen him lately, because what a disappointment.
He has been a disappointment, but I did figure that, you know, Eric Moore would be active. I mean, I don't think you sign a guy on Saturday with the intentions of sitting him around for a couple of weeks. I thought he'd be active. Interesting. You know, interesting to see what they thought they could get out of him. I wonder if maybe Carter or Anderson maybe a little bit banged up and we don't really know.
Could be.
Neither one of those guys, I don't believe, is on the injury report.
Let me see. No A's and C's. Chad Ochocinco, by the way, still on the injury report. But
saw him working out on the field prior to the game.
Oh, yeah. People are not happy with that. We got some tweets on
that. Why, because he had headphones on?
No, because they keep showing him like he's a relevant player.
Oh, I see.
Like, why are you showing him? You show players that are relevant to the game. Although Steve Mariucci went with his bold prediction that Chad Ochocinco will score a touchdown today.
Okay.
Touchdown
that
reception.
That certainly is a bold prediction. Unlike Fred Kirsch's upset specials, when, you know, he takes a team that's, you know, underdog by like 2.5, and he calls that his upset of the week, that would be a bold prediction. A guy who has yet to score a touchdown in 12 weeks, to score a touchdown, bold prediction.
He did tweet this week on one of his tweets. He used hashtag Occupy End Zone, using that whole Occupy Boston Wall Street whole thing. He's hoping to occupy the end zone this week. So.
Do you think they try to get him one?
Sure. I think they've been trying all year. You know those plays when he was wide open? I think they hoped those would be touchdowns. You know the play when he's running like this and the ball goes between his hands in the end zone in Buffalo? I think they thought that would be a touchdown.
You see, this is what I'm talking about. Yes, yes, what you're saying is true. Okay, but it's mean. You're saying it in a mean way. It's a tonality thing.
But I would say it about anybody.
But it's mean.
It's not.
So the truth
is mean
sometimes. It's not
targeting anyone for any reason.
Right,
I would say it about James Sanders. Remember the tone I used to use when, you know, I love him to death, but does he really need to stop running when he gets to the fullback on his blitzes? Maybe I'd like to see him get to the quarterback once.
Yes, that
and
is
I
true.
Loved him more than anyone.
How about the second half of Josh's question about Brady's replacement? You have any thoughts on that?
I don't think it's one of those two guys. I think it was someone who is not on the radar right now, not in the organization. I'm not sold on Ryan Mallett. I'm sorry.
Oh, definitely.
From what
not
I've
sold.
Seen from – and I'm – sold the other way that Brian Hoyer is a backup quarterback. I don't think he's a starting caliber quarterback in the National Football League. So I don't think it's either of those two guys. I think you will see somebody come aboard from elsewhere somehow, some way.
I would agree with you.
Bigger question is, are we looking at this? Brady has 3 years after this one on the current contract. Is that the end of the Tom Brady era?
A lot can happen. My gut feeling will say yes. I think that will be the end of the Tom Brady.
Your gut's more powerful than mine, but my gut says no.
Okay.
You will see him play beyond the current contract.
I'm going to click back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and check in with old friend Anthony in Naples.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't going to call, but then all of a sudden you made a statement, Paul, and it just, you know, perked my ears. And
what,
I
what did I do off. Now?
No, you didn't do anything. I'm just a dumb fan here in Naples. So I just
well, that I agree. 100% on board.
I'm just a dummy, and I would just love to know if you could explain it to me how Bill O'Brien is innovative.
Oh, I think that they've done a lot of different things off. They did a play last week that I've never seen with that bringing Gronkowski across the formation in the backfield and swinging it out to him. I think they've done a lot of interesting things to get by with the couple of offensive weapons that they have. I think they do things on a consistent basis that I haven't seen. Absolutely. I think he's a good, solid offensive coordinator. I agree. I don't think he's ready to be a head coach.
Then maybe my definition of innovative is not correct. I'm the dummy again. You know, I just don't.
All right,
All right.
Let's pump the brakes on the name calling. You disagree with my description of Bill O'Brien. That's okay, but
you sound like a woman in a fight with. No, I'm the dummy again. I'm wrong. I'm always wrong.
No, let's not make yourself out to be a martyr or anything. Let's.
We could talk about it,
Anthony. We're boys.
Paul's not going to hit you.
No, but I think somebody who's innovative with an offense is something what like Mike Martz does. You know what I mean? Just like different types of schemes, like a whole elaborate play. Like running a tight end through the backfield, you know, and giving a little dump off pass to me is not innovative.
Okay.
I don't know.
What's innovative
Bill
about
Walsh.
What's
Bill Walsh was innovative.
All right.
you know what I mean?
Bill Walsh is obviously at a level in the terms of the coaching ranks that's far exceeds probably anything that anybody in today's game will ever do in terms of innovation. But explain to me what's so innovative about a 15-yard in cut, because that's all Mike Martz does on offense. He's had the same offense for the last 10 years.
To me, that's somebody. But he was like one of the first to like really open it up like that. You know what I mean?
It's Ernie Zampezi's offense is all it is.
Okay. But
it's the San Diego Chargers. If you saw the San Diego Chargers with Dan Fouts in the late 70s, that's Mike Martz.
Okay, so now you're saying Bill O'Brien is just as good as Mike Martz calling the play then.
I didn't say that. But if you're going to pick on my semantics of innovative, then no one's really innovative because there are very few guys that come up with their own schemes. Bill Walsh didn't create the West Coast offense.
I'm saying I'm the dummy because I have a higher standard of innovative. I just really do. You know what I mean? Because
Okay, that's what I said. Pick on my semantics of the word innovative, but don't tell me that Mike Martz is creating things. That's all I'm saying. Then none of them are innovative. Okay, we can agree.
Right. Now you're down to Bill Walsh, Paul Brown.
And a lot of people say Bill Walsh stole the offense from Paul Brown.
Well, yeah, he probably did. I mean, if you're going to go that far, then there's like three guys that are innovative. Paul Brown.
That's what I'm saying.
Bud Wilkerson at Oklahoma in the frickin' 30s and somebody else.
You know, the guys that I love to pick on is, I'm the anti-Mayo and I'm the anti-Bill O'Brien. And I just want to actually, not defend myself, but I just want to make myself clear on Mayo, too, now that I decided to bring him up. The reason why I'm so down on Mayo was because I was so excited when he got drafted, and I'm just basically hurt by the level of play. No, seriously, I'm hurt. It hurts me. You know what I mean? Because linebacker is my favorite position.
Me too.
I think that's the best position on the field because when you think about it, you can go in for a sack, you know what I mean? And then you can go out in coverage and pick off a pass. To me, it's the best position, if I could choose to play it. And I think it's the most important on the defense. You know, and then to me, with Bill O'Brien, it's like he's got Brady. And I feel like, you know, with Brady, he just likes to fall back, like throwing the ball all the time. And I think it's also Bill Belichick, too, because it was quite startling, like last week, Wednesday night, listening to the sounds of the game. And he's over there, hey, Billy, throw it. So apparently it's just not Bill O'Brien that's always telling him to toss it, because they have no faith in the run game.
Right.
And that's what this team lacks. It's frustrating. It's like, you mean to tell me these guys can pass block, and you just can't get into a rhythm where you can dominate and run the ball? You know what I mean? This is going to be a serious problem, guys. They need to run the stadium.
I agree. It's been my number one point the last couple of weeks is when are we going to either get the confidence or whatever to run the football? And I agree with you. They haven't tried. I mean, it's like they give up quickly. They have these games where it looks like, okay, this is the week. They come out. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis is in the backfield. They got two tight ends. They might even have three. And you know, they run a couple plays, and all of a sudden there's a 3-yard run, and boom, all right, well, we got to spread them out, get the big guys out of here, let's go. And
Absolutely, Andy. I couldn't have said it any better. It's just like two plays where they try to run the ball, and you're like, forget it.
which is
you know, you're going to fail sometimes.
Right, and which is why I don't understand. Last week, everybody's talking about defensively. You know, Fred Kirsch was a big proponent of, you know, Bill was tinkering. This was a preseason game. He was trying things out. Well, why didn't we try to run the football? If we're treating this like preseason, we're working on things we need to work on. I think something they need to work on is a 10-minute drive to close out the game. Why didn't we try to work on that instead of coming out in the gun and throwing the football around and going no huddle? So.
Oh, I know. And Andy, the frustrating part is, too, is that everybody knows how the Colts are built. They're built to play with a lead and protect the pass.
Right.
So they're weak against the run.
31st in the NFL against the run. And it made no sense. I don't know, but that's the one thing I'll get back to is when you're talking about Bill O'Brien, you're talking about Bill Belichick too. This is his offense. It's his defense.
And
he puts the game plan. So, you know, I don't think Bill's calling the plays, Bill Belichick. I think Bill O'Brien calls the plays, but he's picking from a limited set of plays for each situation that Bill Belichick has put together essentially for that week with Tom Brady. So I don't know when Bill O'Brien would have a chance to show his innovation, because I don't think he's given a lot of rope to work with there when you're talking about it's mostly Bill and Brady.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
Anthony, we have found common ground because I make it unanimous. I agree with everything both of you guys just said about the running game and all that stuff.
I'm sorry, Paul, to pick on you. I just
that's
that
okay.
Innovative. I was just like, please. I scoffed and I rolled my eyes back.
You're an innovative caller.
All right.
With a 9-3 record, you find something to bitch about every week. God bless you.
I think you're. How did he keep wording it? I think you're a dumb,
I got him
just
again.
A stupid fan, just an idiot fan.
I want to touch base real quick with Isaac, who is the Patriots fan club. Andy, you'll like this one, of Mexico.
Hola, mi amigo.
Isaac.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, and you?
Muy bien, y tú? Gracias.
I'm just going to let you and Andy talk now because I don't speak Spanish.
Dios mío, ¿dónde está tu cabeza? ¿En tus pantalones?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you got?
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Where are you, Isaac, in Mexico?
In Mexico City.
Oh. That's a dangerous place, right?
Big city. Very big city.
And how big is your fan club?
Well, we have a Twitter account. It all began in Twitter. We have 800 followers.
Wow.
But the fan club at the page in the New England Patriots, it's like, I think it's like 60, maybe.
Yeah.
But the Twitter, it's like 800, and then every game it grows, you know?
Now, do you guys get together? Do you guys get together to watch the games? Do you have a group that you get together in Mexico City?
No, we don't have any group, like a physical group, because it's all in Twitter, it's all in the media, and we give them some news, some tweet polls, some videos, media, you know, pictures of the team, and we also, when the game goes by, and people can't watch it, we deliver them by Twitters, you know, by tweets.
Yep.
We gave them the highlights of the game also.
Now, do you tweet in English or Spanish?
In Spanish. All in Spanish.
Oh,
all in Spanish.
Bien.
And in the pregame, we gave them the inactives also, all in Spanish. We gave them news. Also, we have some links to the Bill Belichick press conferences. And we're glad to deliver it here because there in Mexico there are lots of NFL fans, you know?
Yes, obviously. We see those games every once in a while that they play down there in Mexico City, and they pack those stadiums. There's a lot of fans.
Yeah, and there are a lot of followers here that they go to the games. You know.
Yep.
We have some. We have a follower that went to the Philadelphia game, and also to the Jets game, and they send us pictures also to the Twitter, and we retweet them to all the followers can see them, you know.
Now, who's the favorite player of the Mexican fan club? Would that be Tom Brady, just somebody like that, or is there an affinity for a guy like Aaron Hernandez who has some Spanish-speaking background, I believe?
I think they have a lot of interest in Rob Gronkowski because he's having a great year, and we think that he will have some great years, you know, because they're talking right now that it's going to be the better tight end, the best tight end of you know.
Yep.
And also, you know, Tom Brady, it's like, you know, with the big icon of the New England Patriots, And also, we love it. We love Wes Welker. Every time he catches a ball, we love him. You know, we love how he runs. He roots also, and we think the most important thing with the New England Patriots this offseason is get him a new contract. You know, because he's the great receiver that all Tom Brady has ever had. You know.
Yes, that'll certainly be a major topic as we head down the stretch here during the year and then into the early part of the offseason. But in terms of today's game, are you excited for today's game, and will you be watching? How's it going to play out for you today?
Yeah. We're going to watch it. I watch all the games. We watch all the games. And I think it's going to be the offensive line will have to hold the defensive line of the Redskins, you know, because there are some great players in the defensive line of the Redskins, like, you know, the guy, I think it's Kerrigan.
Yes.
That, you know, he's having a great year. And also here on Twitter, we follow New England Patriots draft. It's a Twitter account.
Yep.
That gives some insights about the draft. And he was very concerned about Ryan Kerrigan in draft, by you know, New England drafting him.
Yep.
And we didn't get him, and I think Ryan Kerrigan will have a great game today. We hope the New England Patriots offensive line can hold him, because he's a good weapon about the Redskins.
Okay, now before we let you go, two quick questions. First, can you send us a photo of maybe you watching the game today in Mexico City? Show us your Patriots logo in Mexico City.
We'll get that right up on Facebook for you.
Sure. I'll send it. Where do I send? By email?
Yes, email.
webradio@patriots.com.
Webradio, WEBRADIO @patriots.com. And my second question is, seeing as you're in Mexico City, what do you like to eat during a game?
Where do I like to eat? Well, I have breakfast every game. I eat chilaquiles. Do you know chilaquiles?
No. What is it? Sounds good.
It's tortilla with the green salsa. It's very spicy.
Uh-oh.
And you have to have some too much water, because it's very hot.
Oh,
you know.
Does it give you Montezuma's revenge?
Yeah, you know, my wife cooks it. He's right here with me.
Oh, nice.
And
spicy.
Yeah, we have some breakfast here.
Yeah.
And then we have the lunch, and we have the beer.
Siesta.
And then we have dinner. We, you know, it's game day. It's great.
Cervezas and what'd you say? Chili.
Chilaquiles.
I like
chilaquiles,
it.
Yeah.
Send a picture of one of those.
Fried tortilla with green salsa.
Yes. If you get a chance, send us a picture of one of those with you eating one. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, I'll send it.
Okay, we look forward to it. Enjoy the game today, Isaac.
Isaac, thank you for joining us on the Patriot pregame social.
Adios, mi amigo.
And I hope you and all
mañana.
The rest of your fan club in Mexico enjoys the game today.
Sí. Bien partido.
Thanks, Isaac. It's amazing to me to just.
I knew that Spanish would pay off someday.
Watch you with this ill-conceived perception that you're multilingual. It's amazing.
Whoa,
to me.
I don't think I've ever claimed I'm multilingual. I have enough to screw around. That's what I have, enough to screw around.
That's pretty much accurate for you in life in general.
It is. I have a little bit of knowledge of everything, enough to screw around with people. And when anybody challenges me on it, I have to move on.
All right, we are going to check in with Mike Jones from the Washington Post shortly, but we're going to take a break first. Some more interesting stuff coming out. I don't know if you noticed this, Andy, but Taylor Price inactive in Jacksonville.
And I love how they lump this together. He's been there a week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I know I'm an apologist, and I'll be saying that in a month when he's still inactive, but come on.
Before we break, a lot of people wondering, Malcolm Williams is active right off the practice squad. Is he starting at safety?
Wouldn't be surprised.
Next to Dig?
I mean, let's see. We have No Chung, and Moore is gone, and they've started the last who knows many. We know they won't start Sergio Brown. Because
but Slater is the guy, right? Slater started last week.
I can't just assume that the wide receiver, special teams captain, is going to start another game.
Going to be interesting.
Even though,
to see.
By the way, I thought he played pretty well.
No,
I thought he threw his body around,
too.
Made some hits, had the forced fumble.
I thought
had
he
the
played
same number
well.
Of tackles as your all-pro middle linebacker with seven.
Again, there's an example of the truth in your case being me.
How is the truth mean?
Because you bring
fact
it up,
is,
you bring it up
two
for a
weeks
specific
in a row,
reason.
Gerard Mayo's had the same number of tackles as a wide receiver converted to defensive.
You bring
back.
It up for a specific reason, to denigrate the linebacker.
Truth is never mean.
Anyway, Let's take a quick break here. We're going to touch base with Mike Jones of the Washington Post as soon as we get back.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
This is Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo, and you are listening to the Patriots pregame social from the Patriots Facebook page.
Back for the second half of the JetBlue Patriots pregame social here in the Subway Fresh broadcast studios. We're going to go right to FedEx Field and check in with Mike Jones from the Washington Post, who's our out-of-town reporter this week. Mike, you're with Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I appreciate you taking some time. There's been a lot of talk about the field conditions there at FedEx Field, and seems to be some differing opinions based on some of the tweets that we've read. You're there, and we have you on the line, so what are your opinions on the condition of the field?
You know, it looks kind of chewed up. Midfield isn't quite so bad. Looks like they kind of ripped up the big square there and put down a new square of turf there. There's a few places where you can tell that they've definitely put down some new turf around the, you know, from in between the, about the 20s, in between the hash mark from the 20 up until the about the 40. It looks pretty chewed up on both ends of the field. This is something that the players were concerned about when it was when the Redskins were going to host the Army-Navy game yesterday, the day before this game right here. The field's been kind of chewed up all season long, but it looks like they've tried to do what they can to patch up things here and there. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Fortunately, there hasn't been any rain the last 24 hours, so that helps a little bit.
Obviously, beyond the turf, I think the big story surrounding the Redskins are the two suspensions this week. You lose two starters, two key players on offense. How well-equipped are they to replace Trent Williams and Fred Davis in this game, and how big of a factor do you think that'll be for helping the Patriots here?
You know, it's going to be – if the Redskins had both of those guys, they still were going to have a tough time against the Patriots. This is offense, despite as prolific as Fred Davis has been for them this year, being their leading pass catcher. They still were struggling to put points on the board. I think they were averaging just right under about, you know, just a little under 20 points a game. That was with him and with Trent Williams healthy, protecting Rex Grossman's blind side. Now you don't have those guys. You know, you lose a lot from that offense because Fred Davis is a guy who created mismatches with linebackers with his speed. He could also split out wide and had a great size and could do well, you know, lining up as a receiver as well. And now you don't have him, and so you're forced to go with Logan Paulson, who's a guy that basically was just known to be a blocking tight end. He hasn't really done very much in the receiving game for the Redskins in the last 2 years. And Santana Moss is a guy there, that wide receiver, and so is DeBar Gaffney. Gaffney's having a good year. Moss hasn't really had the impact that he had in years past. They're both going to have to step up. And then at that tackle position, you know, we still don't know yet if it's going to be Sean Locklear, the guy who's been a career right tackle, if he's going to move over to that position, or if they're going to have the rookie Willie Smith out of East Carolina, who's, you know, a little bigger and a little more athletic, but definitely unproven. So it's going to be a tough time for the Redskins this week.
In terms of that left tackle spot, it'll be a former Redskin trying to take advantage of that matchup, and Andre Carter having a good year here in New England. Listening to him this week, do you think that he'll be a guy that will really be looking to prove something today against his former team? And how did you see the end of his career there in Washington play out?
Well, the thing with him was, year before last, he had 11 sacks,
right,
and he was coming off of a great year with the Redskins. Mike Shanahan came in here and brought in the 3-4 defense, and really, Carter was pretty much put out of place because he didn't do well as an outside linebacker blitzing out of that two-point stance. And so he knew that this wasn't going to be a place for him. He has to be released. The Redskins definitely granted it. He was professional the whole time. Last season, he worked and did everything he could to get better, but he just, you know, he's just not built to be an outside linebacker. So I think that, you know, he has respect for the people in management here, this, you know, they're here at the Redskins, even though he was asked to do things that he wasn't, you know, suited for. He didn't complain. He says he still has, you know, hard feelings towards them. He tried his best, and, you know, they gave him the release that he wanted. Obviously, he wants to have a good game against them, but I don't think that he's out there saying, let me prove a point. I think that his numbers have proven that point this year, even before this game.
Interesting, you know, with all the talk about Andre Carter, and it was, we've kind of forgotten about Albert Haynesworth, Mike, but it was interesting to hear Mike Shanahan, you know, no raised eyebrows there over how it ended here in New England for Haynesworth. Is that pretty much was the line of thinking? I'm sure that you guys are pretty exasperated with Haynesworth and your short dealings with him. No surprise whatsoever how it ended here?
Well, you know, the thing was, you know, it's not a huge surprise just because it doesn't seem like, you know, some of Redskins have said that he just doesn't like to play football. this is a guy who's got a, you know, great ability, great athleticism, and it seemed like once he got that big paycheck that he was like, okay, you know, I'm set. I don't really have to bring that effort. I don't have to try as hard. And right. It showed on the field, and, you know, you thought that maybe he would want to try to prove, you know, the Redskins wrong with his opportunity there in New England, but at the same time, you know, it was just the same type of thing up there, and so it wasn't really surprising when he got released. You figured that, okay, maybe if this guy was motivated that he would try to, you know, shape up and show that he could have an impact, but it looks like, you know, even down in Tampa Bay, that, you know, nothing really has changed a whole lot there.
No, I agree. And one of the ways that, one of the only ways that a lot of people feel the Redskins' defense can cause some problems today is with, obviously, their bookend pass rushers, Arakpo and Kerrigan. What kind of impact do you think those two guys might be able to have on Tom Brady today?
Well, they're going to have to. That's something that the Redskins have been talking about all week. They were embarrassed last week that they weren't able to register a sack on Mark Sanchez, and they said that they think that that's a big reason why they lost. They weren't able to finish plays. They weren't able to pressure him. And they know that with Brady, although he's not, you know, the most mobile quarterback, but he knows where the ball's going before the snap, and so they know that they're going to have a little bit of trouble. You know, he moves, flies left to right very well in the pocket. He stands tall back there and makes those throws. They feel like they can't give him time. They have to do everything they can to get back there and to try to, you know, rattle him a little bit. They feel like they've seen, you know, times this season, they said on tape, where they feel like there's ways that they can exploit different weaknesses with the Patriots line and that they can get to Brady. But they know that at the same time, you know, he's got a lot of weapons. He's been doing this for a long time. He's one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game. And so it'll be a tall task for them.
Mike, you went over the limitations of the offense for the Redskins, you know, based on the suspensions especially. How about Roy Alou? How much have you been impressed with him the last couple of weeks as he's taken over the starting job? And is he a guy that you think can kind of carry that offense if he needs to today, both on the ground and catching the ball out of the backfield?
Well, he's definitely going to have to. You know, he's the one bright spot that they have left on this offense. When they were in that Miami game, it was the other rookie, Leonard Hankerson, the wide receiver, and he thought, okay, maybe these two young guys will be able to give them a little bit of a burst as they come down the second half of the season. But Hankerson is out for the rest of the season with a hip injury, and so a lot of the pressure is on Roy Alou. This is a young guy, though, who does well. He doesn't seem fazed by the pressure. He wants more carries. He wants more opportunities. This is a guy who, you know, I think that, you know, he does well running the ball, and he also has been one of their leading pass catchers. He leads all rookies, you know, in receptions, all rookie running backs in receptions this year. So if the Redskins can use him in a variety of ways, not just running the ball, he does well on those pitches on the outside run, but also catching passes out of the backfield, maybe that can help keep the Patriots' defense off balance. Maybe that can set up that play-action attack for the Redskins and then open up some opportunities for plays downfield.
Is this game close today?
I don't think so. It's just been a struggle for the Redskins to put points on the board. Even when they're moving the ball, then they'll have a turnover. Or, you know, maybe they're moving the ball, but then their defense has a breakdown. This team doesn't really do anything particularly well on a consistent basis, and you have an absolute machine in the Patriots. So I don't think that this is going to be a very close game.
Well, we're just going to let you know, Mike, this is extending our streak to 13 consecutive weeks that our out-of-town reporter has picked against his team. And most of them, you know, like you, haven't really been anticipating a close game either. But
you can't really blame me, can you?
No, I think we all feel I am the lone voice that thinks the game could be close, but I don't think the Patriots will lose.
Right.
And I think for the exact reason you said, I've seen the Redskins move the ball, and then generally Grossman will find a way to turn it over. I don't see him playing a clean game, and that's what it would take, I think,
right,
to beat the Patriots. But I do feel like they'll move the ball against a very suspect Patriots defense.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about this defense is, you know, they'll give up yards, but then when it comes down to points, that's somewhere where they buckle down. So Jim Haslett described them as kind of like a bend-but-don't-break defense. And you know what? That's fine. You know, if you can give up yards, then you buckle down in the red zone, and that's where the Redskins have troubles. That's, you know, exactly they're playing into what the Patriots do well. So that's why, you know, I kind of don't feel like the Redskins are going to be able to put a lot of points on the board today.
All right. Well, we appreciate you taking some time. I know you got to get ready for the game there, and we look forward to another 1 o'clock game. We don't have too many of these, so believe me, we cherish the 1 o'clock kickoffs. So enjoy the game today, Mike, and thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
That's Mike Jones from the Washington Post. And another bleak outlook for the home team. It's just surprising to me, not so much that he would pick against the team, but just that how many of the guys that we've talked to during the course of this season just don't really give their team a chance.
Well, didn't the Eagles guy pick the Eagles?
Oh, no. Oh,
are
no.
Are you sure?
Positive. Well, if he did, it was after he completely shredded it. Was that the guy? Was Spudsy the guy who completely shredded Philadelphia the whole time?
Oh, yeah. And then he turned into Kurish.
Yeah,
he was Fred.
Yeah.
He ripped him.
He gave the Eagles no chance to win the game.
At the end, you asked him. Yeah. He was like, I got to take the Eagles.
Yeah, I got to take the Eagles.
That was every reason.
That was like a Fred Kurish contractually obligated to take the Eagles.
No question.
But he completely shredded the Eagles.
If you listen to his words, he didn't pick the Eagles until he picked them.
You're right, Kevin. That's you are correct. One of the rare times. So I gotta say it.
He is right. Tied for 25th, the Redskins are in red zone offense. So that's good for the bend but don't break Patriots.
Before we move on here, got a couple interesting things that I've been working on back
here. Okay, I also want you to get back to the polls too. But
that was
get
one
to
of
your
things.
First thing. That
Chung has got 71% of the votes, so it's an overwhelming majority.
Right again, Andy Hart
but,
is.
I happen to be listening to a little bit of NFL Countdown here behind the glass, and I cut about a minute of their breakdown of the Patriots-Redskins game, and I just wanted to play it for everybody to hear.
Okay.
Guys, this is the thing that's astonishing. This defense, the only reason why they're 32nd is because there's only 32 teams. This defense, they're on a historic pace. They give up 6.2 yards per play. Regardless, now they're very, very fortunate as far as the schedule. The teams you talked about, Miami, Denver, these teams can't throw. The most disappointing part about this defense is their cornerback, Devin McCourty. All right, he was a Pro Bowler last year. He can't guard anyone right now. So eventually that will catch up to you, boy.
Julian Edelman, return man. Matthew Slater, return man. They've been playing safety. Since the start of the season, regular season, they've released 11 guys on defense. Lee Bodden, Darius Butler, Gerard Warren, Albert Hainsworth, late preseason cut starting safeties, Merriweather and Sanders. I mean, he's still tinkering. It's allowed him
Boom.
To tinker.
I got
what
shoes.
Was that, Tom?
I got shoes in the car. Me and Keith or Slater and Edelman, smash that up.
Right now. I'm 5 years removed from the game right now. I go out there and them do. Don't play with me like
Stop.
That.
Stop.
Oh, they did it.
I know.
I'm not saying I did it.
I know, but come on, man.
Hold on.
They just gave him a come on, man, before they're even supposed to do it. It wasn't even part of the segment.
An impromptu come on, man. And I got to give.
They're mocking
I got to give props to the monkey that I make fun of every week.
Best
Kevin.
Thing he's ever done.
Great,
best thing.
Great job.
You know, there's no second place. So.
Great job getting that sound up there. And very interesting. But,
they're just laughing
the
at
hard
them.
Part. Yeah.
Yeah, 5 years removed, they could go get open.
But Chris,
they're mocking
But
them.
I thought when Chris Berman is trying to, like, break down, like, all the guys they've let go during the course of the season and even, you know, before the season, they're just laughing in
right.
the background of how bad this defense is.
I agree with them.
Well, I wish I could have this passionate argument that I could say, are you crazy? These guys are way better than you're giving them credit for. But I look at them the way they are. They've been very fortunate to not face a lot of offenses that can take advantage.
And the biggest problem is the argument was when McCourty and Spikes and Chung get back, they'll be better. And they're already playing better with points allowed. It's about points. It's about, well, the points took a hit last week. And the other theory took a hit when McCourty returned and stunk.
Right. Right.
I mean, now it's just, well, when Chung and Spikes come back, even though they don't play corner and they're not really in the back end, because Chung likes to be up near the line of scrimmage, then they'll be better. Well, you're running out of excuses. You're running out of weeks. You're running out of tinkering from Bill Belichick. Sooner or later, the group you see is going to go on the field and is going to face Ben Roethlisberger or Ray Rice or, you know, TJ Yates. That's probably maybe their best thing. And I still say that concerns me if Andre Johnson's on the field and Arian Foster's on the field, because they have the weapons to beat you if Yates can play good enough. And we've seen plenty of Jags that we thought were laughable quarterbacks play more than good enough against this defense.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time right now not conjuring up memories of the recent past in the postseason.
Word.
But again, the one difference might be there might not be a lot of teams that can take advantage of that. And, you know, who knows with Roethlisberger's situation right now.
And Pouncey.
That looked bad.
And
that
Pouncey.
Looked bad, and
that's
I know he was able to get it
line
out.
To lose their best guy. Now, if you have a quarterback who's limited, and now your pass rush is better, that covers up your
because
secondary.
Because Pittsburgh ain't beating you with Charlie Batch.
Oh, hell no.
I'm sorry. So if Roethlisberger can't play, You already brought up T.J. Yates. That's a game I worry a lot less about in that situation. I know you're contractually obligated to maintain your worry with the Wilson Hart power, throw a dart index, as Fred would say.
It's interesting. Everybody's mocked the Texans being atop, but they've played most of the season without Andre Johnson, without Mario Williams, and now they lose their quarterback, and they keep winning. To me, that tells me they're the best all-around team.
Yeah, I believe they're showing a little bit right now of the FedEx Field turf on one of the, it looks like the CBS pregame show.
And a guy with the baggiest clothes on I've ever seen in
my life.
Looks
pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
It looks pretty bad. It looks pretty chewed up. And there's only one little square that was resodded.
Yeah.
And which is what Mike Jones told us.
Debacle. Debacle.
So it's going to be a tough.
I'm with Zell. Throw it all day long. These running backs will trip.
Do you have a second poll that you want to introduce?
Is who will score the Patriots' first touchdown today?
Oh, I love those.
Rob Gronkowski.
What we hope the first of many.
Rob Gronkowski.
And, Gronkowski is choice number one.
He's right.
Welker number two. Benny number three. Branch four. Hernandez five. Or, and this would stun me, the defense is our sixth.
Rex Grossman's playing, so don't be stunned.
Don't dismiss that
They're
defense.
Going to defer. So the Redskins, if they win, so the Redskins could have the ball, and you could score. Kyle Arrington, the magnet on his chest, he's running down the field, we're using no hands because it's just stuck to his shoulder pads. Touchdown!
All right, let's go to Olivier.
I really cracked up Matt behind the glass with that.
Olivier is actually at FedEx Field tailgating, so let's check in.
This is Olivier reporting live from FedEx Stadium. I am here with hundreds of thousands of Patriots fans.
He's lubed up, you can tell.
Yeah.
Yes, we are lubed up, yes. So, everything is cool.
Did you bring your mom's waffles?
My mom is here with me.
She brought her waffles because she has very good waffles. Moist.
Yeah, did you like the waffles?
Yeah, I like your mom's waffles.
Okay, we'll make more for you.
They were very very sweet. She has a very sweet waffle.
Well, thank you. I think that it must be part of our DNA.
Oh, I don't want your DNA.
My goodness.
All right, she's got something to say.
Uh-oh.
Forza Patrioti!
Hey, so buono!
She said, go Patriots in Italian. But anyway,
nice.
I'm here with a bunch of fans, and they want to say something. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
So we have to go past on three.
Right.
One, two, three.
Yeah.
All right, this is from FedEx Field, babies.
All right, Olivier, congratulations for keeping it clean. I was a little concerned about
well
that.
Well done. Well done, Olivier.
Yes, I know. We had a rehearsal before we did that.
Well, you guys.
Right, guys, have a good game.
Yeah,
see you, Olivier.
Enjoy the game. And that was great. I really was concerned about that.
That was a good passion. Good quick hit.
When I heard the.
Get a little. Olivier, if you're listening, send a photo of the tailgate. We forgot to tell you on the air. And of your mom's Belgian waffle.
Hey, quick email from Ray. Speaking of short and sweet. I'll keep it simple and stupid. Vernon Golston? I mean, why the hell not? Rev Ray. What do you think?
Why the hell not?
Well, can he be worse than Eric Moore?
Yes.
He can?
Yes.
Okay. Then I wouldn't do it.
I mean, he could be. Maybe you can get something out of him. I mean, I think if you look at the Jets tried Golston, it doesn't work. Aaron Maybin comes in there, and they turn him around. I don't know if you read the story this morning about they've kind of assigned an intern to him. He's got like a personal coach that's working really hard on a lot of stuff. It's actually Wes Welker's best friend from college.
I didn't see that story.
It's an interesting little story. He played linebacker for the Ravens for like 2 years and then blew out his shoulder. He's now a coaching intern, and one of his main tasks is he works one-on-one with Maybin.
And he has been fairly productive. I mean, he hasn't been
great. He leads him in sacks.
He hasn't been great, but he has showed up.
He'd be the biggest impact player on this defense, bar none. You know, when they're selling jerseys for you that say Mayhem on the back instead of Maybin, his name,
thanks.
That's a good sign.
I didn't catch that.
I don't know if there's any defenders that we'd like to say Mayhem on the back of their jerseys here, regardless of what their name is.
Well, I think we have a lot of them. But as you would say, the truth is never mean. I disagree with that, so I'm not going to use them.
If you're going to tinker and sign people every week, I'd sign anybody if you're going to try it. Especially the pass rush that I like to fluff up about a month ago that was playing well and they had all those sacks has stopped playing well. They haven't gotten to the quarterback the last 2 weeks. Now, maybe they'll get there today.
And I agree with you. Today, I think, might be a day that
they
bounce back.
If you do it against, I'm going to get the name now, number 69, Willie Smith, the rookie tackle who may play. What did you prove to me? You're not going to face him necessarily in the postseason. So, you know, I'm looking for this pass. I've given up on the pass defense in terms of coverage. So if they're going to be good enough in the postseason, I'm going to put a lot of weight on Mark Anderson and Andre Carter in the front. Well, you need to prove to me you can be an impact player every single week up front. They've taken the last 2 weeks off.
No, I'm with you on that. A little bit frustrated. And I know that they've had different game plans, you know, especially the LeSean McCoy week. I think that they were a little bit, but you have to figure out.
Care.
You have to figure out a way.
Believe it or not, Andy, it's never our game plan to not get pressure on the opposing quarterback.
In these games, especially, you know, I know you're being sarcastic, but especially both of those games were out of hand pretty early, and they still couldn't get anything on the, you know, in the second half. They didn't provide a lot of pressure on Orlovsky or Vince Young. So you can do better than they've done, and I'd like to see that start a little bit today. Back to the emails here. Brian the Fox.
Emails.
I'm hoping you will give us a rookie versus rookie preview. I'm confident that Nate Solder can handle Adam Carriker. Nate's reward, Ryan Kerrigan bearing down on him. How do you guys see this battle for the right edge going?
I think that's going to be a very interesting one. It scares me a little bit. We've seen Solder struggle at various times, and I think Ryan Kerrigan is a guy Albert Haynesworth would hate because he's a high motor guy, but he's also a high motor guy with some talent.
Correct.
That's a bad combination. Obviously has had an impact rookie year, 6.5 sacks, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, interceptions, touchdowns, very active player. And that's what he was in college at Purdue. Very active. I forgot the exact number, but it's like 14 forced fumbles. You know, I don't know if it was a school record or conference. He was very active and, you know, again, he's a high motor guy, but he's a good high motor guy. He's not just relying on effort. He's got some talent. And that's one of those things. If Brady's moving around back there and that clock is going, well, Kerrigan's still going to be coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you match that with Arakpo on the other side. And as Bill says, you know, when the quarterback sometimes avoids one guy, he goes right into the other. You know, we liked seeing that from Kerrigan, Carter and Anderson. The Redskins
well
like to see it from Arakpo and Kerrigan. That worries me a little bit, that matchup, because then you get into, well, now do we need to have Rob Gronkowski staying in? And then, okay, now our best offensive player in terms of scoring points is blocking Ryan Kerrigan or Brian Arakpo. So there's that trickle-down effect if you fail there.
Finishing up on Brian's email, he feels that Waters and Solder's performance will determine what role Gronk might be able to play. Hopefully the guys can do their job well so that Gronk can continue his receiving dominance and not be restrained to the role of a blocker. Stay Subway fresh.
They also have had some success. Adam Carriker has kind of revived his career a little bit there. And the other guy, I'm drawing a blank on him now, Stephen Bowen has like 5 sacks. So it's
playing with a torn
group
PCL,
effort,
by the way.
Group effort that you have to get up front, because it's, you know, it's not just the two outside guys. You got some interior pressure. So yeah, this is a week coming off last week where they were number one in the New York Life Protection Index rankings for the week, and are now number two overall for the season in the New York Life Protection Index, which is an interesting little thing. I don't know how much fans are aware of that, but if you want to go online, you can check it out. I write about it occasionally on our website, but they've tried to quantify.
Included in the six-pack a lot, don't you?
Yes, they've tried to quantify pass protection in terms of sacks, pressures, hits, holding calls, all those various things, and Patriots have done well in their rankings and done well against some pretty good tests of late, and the tests just keep coming. It seems like every week they face two elite pass rushers, which leads me to believe they're not all really elite.
Well, some information coming from the pregame. Mike Reese, our good friend from ESPN Boston, says that Gostkowski is hitting from about 48 yards as his long, and
well,
blogger Mike says the field.
You got freaking divots the size of the ball in the way.
The field is at is
plus,
to blame
we know
for
how
that.
Gostkowski is. Once he starts thinking, oh, my God, there's divots in the ground. Oh, my God, I'm going to miss this kick. Oh, my God, oh, my God.
You are a tough guy to please.
I like him.
Brett in Northern California, next up on the email list here. Let Fred know that I just hopped onto the PPGS stream using my Patriots iPhone app.
Well, nice.
Excellent. Good job, Brett. These 1 o'clock starts come early out here on the West Coast. My question is, why has Shanahan had success in the past against Belichick? Good question. Is it because Denver was such a tough place to play? Does Shanahan have the personnel to give the Pats any problems today? Happy holidays. Love the show.
That is a good question.
Thank you. It's a great question.
It
hasn't just been in Denver, by the way. The Broncos had good success in Foxborough.
I think
as well.
Denver was part of it. I think Denver
Big
had a great home field advantage there for everything that went into that. I think they had good personnel. I think Shanahan is an interesting offensive mind that gives Belichick some problems. I don't know if it's, you know, the one cut running, if they struggle there, which, by the way, this is, I'll say it again, I think Alou is going to be the next in line of these Shanahan find running backs who are good for his system.
Doesn't always have to take him in the top, you know, in the first round. He's had a lot of success with later round picks.
They find the guy. But that's an interesting question, and I don't know if I have the real answer to that.
I know that Shanahan is like Belichick in that he's very game plan oriented. He doesn't.
Right.
Bill always talks about how many different personnel packages they use, a lot of shifting, a lot of motion. So I think that when you don't always do one thing, you have an advantage against Belichick, because when Bill can really prepare for you and have a good idea of what you're going to do, he'll stop you, and he'll come out on top on that, those kinds of situations. So I think that might be part of it. But yeah, Denver's had good teams too in Shanahan's tenure, and they've caused problems. The one year that really stuck out to me was 05 when they beat him twice out there, and at that time really no one had been able to beat Belichick twice in the same season, and they did it pretty handily twice. The games were, you know, by close, by score, they were reasonably close, but they really weren't all that close on the field, if you recall.
I do recall. I predicted the playoff one.
You did, and you were very excited about
it. I went to a wedding.
Somehow they allow you to maintain your employment here.
I know you're not a big fan of GasFace25 on Twitter.
No, nor is anybody else.
But he says, these field condition stories are freaking me out. Every team seems to lose a star the week before they face Tebow, Peterson, Forte, etc. And he's worried that the Patriots could lose a star, A, because they're going to face Tebow next week, and B, because of the field conditions.
I got to give him credit. That's a reasonably... astute observation for GasFace. I would worry about that. I think that you can lose a guy anytime.
Gronkowski.
No, you can lose a guy at any time, Andy.
Welker.
But field conditions like Brady. This, to me, I think that increases those chances.
Sure.
And certainly, Mike Reese was down on the field. He's doing a pregame hit for CBS. He's talking about how chewed up it is, how some of the areas that they patched over are a little bit higher because the grass is obviously underneath it. It's not an ideal situation. Listen, if you have a natural grass field, you can't be hosting games the same weekend as your NFL
game. Especially games like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it'd be one thing if you were facing, like, these high-powered spread attacks. Right.
You were seeing, like, fullback dives.
Right.
Well, both teams run the option.
You've
so
got about
that is
you literally, every play, have about 16 guys.
Game, but I remember,
it's a rugby huddle.
I remember specifically watching part of it yesterday.
Scrum.
In Army had... they had something like a 2nd and 28, and they ran like a. I was like, here, Travis,
Andy. Andy's had his glory down. Watching those games.
It's
the way football should be played.
Although
the answer's not necessarily. A lot of people actually tweeting off these stories. When is the NFL going to go to all synthetic surfaces? And we'll see how many torn Achilles tendons and things we have on those. Then I have theories about that synthetic turf. Has its issues.
Oh, I do think that some of the injuries have been caused by that as well. There's no perfect solution, but. I think that you need to eliminate natural grass because of situations like this. I mean, synthetic, the field turf at least is in pristine shape every game. It doesn't eliminate injuries.
No, I think it causes them.
Yeah, but I mean, more so than anything else?
Yes.
Oh, I don't. I think that bad natural grass fields cause as many injuries as anything
shoes
else.
Shoes and field turf are causing major injuries, in my opinion.
You might be right about that.
I have no science to back it up.
No, I know, but I'm going to put you on the spot anyway when we get back and hit the home stretch of the Patriots pregame social.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
Love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y,
right? Right. Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Think you know more about the Patriots than Paul Perillo?
I don't know anything.
Try him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
I know nothing about anything.
Now, back to the man who knows it all.
We have the best listeners.
Paul Perillo.
I'm sorry, what was that?
That voice guy really pops his peas sometimes.
Wow. That wasn't called for.
We have some breaking news off Twitter that I want to alert everyone to. According to Mike Reese, our good friend and former PFW writer, Jamal Brown, the right tackle for the Washington Redskins, just went down in warm-ups. He's being looked at by Redskins medical staff. That's interesting because obviously they're already without left tackle Trent Williams, and Sean Locklear maybe was a question to play the left side or the right side, and Willie Smith, the rookie. Well, you may get both those guys, maybe one on the right side and one on the left.
So big days for not only Andre Carter, but...
Mark Anderson?
Or Eric Moore.
More or less.
We'll see. We have a little more than 10 minutes to go here in our JetBlue Patriots pregame social, I want to rifle through some emails because people were kind enough to write in.
Another quick update from Twitter before you get into those.
Go
just
right
wanted
ahead.
To our own Eric Scalavino, PFW Eric on Twitter. Dane Fletcher, who's obviously making his first appearance in quite some time since that Dallas game where he played, I don't know if you recall,
one snap
on the goal line on a Jason Witten touchdown. He is wearing a light cast on his right hand.
Oh, it's important today.
Yes. It's on top of his gloves. Same deal as he had in practice, Eric said.
On Thursday, it wasn't important enough to know.
He's an idiot. He's a defensive idiot, okay. not Fletcher.
Matt LePain says, I told you so, Eric.
Yeah.
Well, Eric just got defensive and wouldn't answer the question. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. I didn't look. I don't know.
By the way, is he going to call in? Or?
Yeah, Flash and LePain just had a nice fist pump right there, which I liked.
It's going to be like the one I'll be doing when Flash and LePain picks up lunch later.
Absolutely. Colin is in... Where is he? In Belgium.
Ooh, how's his mom's waffle?
There you go. He has a poem. The no-name defense. 'Twas early on game day, Sunday afternoon, and the no-name defense prepared for the game coming soon. They strapped on their pads, their helmets and cleats, hoping to prevent any chance of defeat. They studied their playbooks, matchups of the day, which receivers Bill had said they should view with dismay, which linemen they hoped they could fool with a stunt, and how they could force the offense to punt. The game plan said they'd start cover two, but it only would work if their blitzes got through. They knew that their man coverage always was weak and needed that Carter to be a mad sacking freak. That sounds dirty. Mad sacking freak. Okay. Just a little aside.
Especially not for him either. He looks like that astute fatherly figure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's a mad sacking freak.
Well, perhaps it would be Anderson with Grossman in his sights or Wilfork snagging another interception tonight. And if it proved that their secondary was still on the fritz... They always had Arrington's dreaded corner blitz. It all looked good on paper. The game plan was sound. Don't let them pass. Make them earn it on the ground. But with the no-name defense, only one thing was certain. Jeff in Vegas will say, bet the over, or else you'll be hurting. Because they gave up the yards no matter how good the planning, and even Dan Orlovsky looked like Peyton Manning. They couldn't stop Vince Young. Long passes thrown. Thank God they always tighten up in the red zone. Then the game starts, the secondary runs this way and that. Everyone's open. The seams, the posts, and the flat.
That's a good line right there.
But with wide receivers suddenly playing on defense, the referees throw flags on the slightest pretense.
Oh, yeah.
It's a damn good thing that the offense is clicking and Brady and Gronk are delivering a butt-kicking, or I don't think we'd ever win games at all, and our hopes for the playoffs certainly would fall. So on Welker, on Carter, on Hernandez and Brady, on Wilfork, on Mayo, on Branch and Gronkowski, let's put another W in the books tonight. Go Pats, say we all, and to all, a good night.
Brady doesn't rhyme with Gronkowski.
Okay, that was the one that didn't really rhyme, and you got to pick on the guy?
Well, I mean, he had such a great line, like, everybody's open! And then he kind of ran out of gas. You got to finish. We've learned anything the last couple weeks. You got to finish.
Good point.
And he didn't finish.
Buddy Gene in Daytona.
Mean Gene.
Can you guys ask Eric how the field looks? That's my only concern, losing a guy to injury, losing a guy to injury.
Kind of like the Redskins just did. Eric updates us. Jamal Brown limped off to the locker room with assistance of the medical staff. So certainly looks like you could see two new tackles for the Redskins.
Absolutely. Today. I heard you guys for the first time on those Boston radio stations and liked what you said. I mean, there was more insight into the Patriots other than Zolak. They do not provide much information, just opinions.
Yeah, even he doesn't provide.
Today in Florida, after three straight weeks of Tebow, I will see the Jaguars against Tampa and Taylor Price.
He's inactive.
I am excited to see what Taylor does. Unfortunately, Gene, you're not going to see.
He's still learning the offense.
Today,
he just got there. Give him another couple of weeks, then he'll be making plays with Blaine Gabbert.
He wants to know if Belichick retires. What do you think of Tony Sparano?
Duh. No, thank you.
I don't think so. Isaac, who we talked to, by the way.
I don't trust the guy who wears glasses all the time, sunglasses.
He
I don't care about his grease.
Could you guys get back to Isaac and let him know how he can get? That's good. So he wants to get the replay of the show so they can have a recording and all that.
Nice. People will be critiquing my Espanol.
Right. And he sent in some stuff, so that was good.
We got the photos up? Now that has nothing to do with us.
He said he would be sending in photos.
That's the monkey behind the glass being completely stereotypical and offensive.
You're not like you asking if they liked Hernandez?
Well, I just...
That wasn't stereotypical and offensive.
Don't we like what we like? I mean, there's a reason we surround ourselves with our own kind. Have you ever heard of, like, Little Italy? They all moved into the same place because they like to be surrounded by their own kind? Right? Right? I'm just saying.
Fragile.
I didn't know he was going to pick every white guy on the team that he likes and, you know, ignore the Hispanic guy.
Okay. Anyway, Kyle, next up. I was wondering when the last time Belichick won the opening coin toss and elected to receive as opposed to deferring. I cannot recall a single time this has happened in my recent memory, and I am curious. He certainly has not done it this year, to my knowledge.
I'm pretty sure he did it last year.
He may have.
Pretty sure he did.
He may have.
You don't need the exact game, do you? Because I don't have it.
No. There are times I think that he likes to get out ahead, and he does take that. But the general rule of thumb for Belichick is he likes that first, second half possession. I think he's right.
Maybe this week they'll do it because Brady was pitching one freaking possession in the first quarter.
Wow. I actually think that he was actually wrong about that as well.
Why, they had two possessions? I'm pretty sure they only had a three and out, didn't they?
No, they had a field goal on their first drive. Then I thought they went three and out.
Oh, maybe they did.
But maybe the three and out happened in the second quarter. They had a field goal.
I don't believe so.
I know they had a field goal in the first drive.
Pretty sure the Colts had the ball at the switch.
Well, they did, but that was a 10-minute drive. So maybe the Colts had the ball to start the game, then the Patriots got the ball, went down, kicked a field goal, and then the Colts had a 10-minute drive that went into the second quarter.
Right.
So maybe they did only have one possession in the first half. Then the Patriots went three and out. But I thought they might have had two. But anyway, 6-1, half dozen the other. Let's go back to FedEx Field and check in with the man, the myth, the legend, Eric Scalavino, and find out, among other things, if Jamal Brown is dead.
Well, I don't know if he's dead completely, but he didn't look like he was in any shape to come back today.
Nice!
Which already, I mean, they're already down one tackle, now they're down two.
Sacks up!
I wouldn't be surprised if Eric Moore, who hasn't played since the preseason, comes in and gets a couple of sacks today.
I wouldn't be surprised either. That's obviously the latest topic that has Twitter abuzz. The original topic that had Twitter abuzz today was the turf there at FedEx Field. Eric, you know my rule. If there's grass on the field, play ball. But what does it look like to you?
Yeah, you've had that rule instituted for a long time, haven't you, Andy?
Yep, keeps
Never
me out
really
of trouble.
Never got to use it, but that's okay.
Neither have you, but go ahead.
Between the hashes from about the 40-yard line in, looks pretty bad on both sides of the field. It's very very brown and dug up. The edges aren't too bad, and there's resod at the 50 and at the 25-yard line along the sideline where the little NFL shield logo is. So that was a quick repatch from last night, obviously, after the Army-Navy game. By and large, it looks like there's a lot of mess in the middle of the field, which is not going to be good, obviously, for field goal footing and could be a little problematic for linemen, interior linemen.
Yeah, it should be interesting to keep an eye on that. What else have you noticed in terms of some of the changes for this Patriots team? Obviously, the secondary is obviously a big question mark, work in progress. What have we seen yet out of the safety position and, you know, what they may do back there today?
Right. I'm seeing a lot of Sergio Brown in warm-ups here.
Oh, boy. Just when we thought it couldn't get anywhere, Sergio Brown's going to play, apparently.
Yeah,
so my prediction
that,
of Malcolm Williams did not come true?
I'm sorry, Paul?
I said my prediction of Malcolm Williams didn't come true?
Well, he's out here, but I haven't seen him doing a whole lot in pregame warm-ups. But I've seen the 31 running around quite a bit. Malcolm is out there right now with the second team, playing more of a slot corner role here at the moment, but seeing a lot of Ron Brace and Brandon Dedrick doing some rotation on the defensive line, obviously with Gerard Warren not being in the mix today. Look for those two guys maybe to get some rotational reps during the game. I don't know about you guys, but I was a little surprised by the Warren move.
Yeah, a little bit, and we had actually talked and posed the idea that maybe Sean Ellis would be inactive, and then they came up it was Warren, because Warren, to me, has been more of an active rotational guy on the defensive line and shown up a little more than Ellis has.
Yeah, I picked a defensive lineman. I just picked the wrong one.
Yeah, and, you know, Ellis, obviously, maybe a little bit more of an end position. And, Warren, obviously, more in the interior, but still, a little curious with that move. But then he was out here running sprints after they announced the activation, Warren I'm talking about, and that was a little bizarre. I've never seen that before, that an active player would come out and continue to warm up. So
That's why he's a longtime professional, you know, doing the little things. You're not going to play today. You're going to get your work in, get your conditioning in.
That's a good point. I wouldn't discount that at all.
Money.
Yeah, I mean, I figured that you don't go out and sign a guy like Eric Moore if you don't intend to play him. You don't add him to the active roster on Saturday and then have him deactivated. So, I know some people on Twitter, Rap Sheet, were surprised by that, but it just, you know, makes all the sense in the world. You sign a guy on Saturday, he already has familiarity with your system.
Right.
He plays. I just thought that maybe Sean Ellis would be the guy that would be out.
No, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Other note, just real quickly, Dane Fletcher obviously active for the first time since the Dallas game. And, he's been relatively active in these warm-ups so far. It'd be interesting to see whether or not he gets a start or, you know, how quickly he gets into the rotation in the game. But I would think we're going to see some Dane Fletcher today.
And speaking of things we may see, obviously Bill has sprung on us a few times this year, the offensive guy playing defense. Last week, nobody expected Slater, and he showed up out there. Any of those bodies on defense today, anybody we may or may not expect to be out there flipping sides?
Yeah, I did see Slater back in the secondary mix again for a few minutes, so he's certainly one to keep an eye on. I'm not sure as much about Edelman. That could be a game time decision with whether or not he plays on either side of the ball, but in warmups definitely saw Slater with the safeties.
All right, before we let you go, the most important thing: how was the karaoke performance last night from Patriots today's Lindsey Petrucci?
We're hoping to secure that video and post it online very soon, so you can all see for yourselves.
Now I hope at least for her part there were some adult beverages involved and that she didn't choose to do. Okay, good. I hope she didn't just choose to do this and set her up for all the ridiculing and fun that we're going to have with her.
Oh, no. She was certainly influenced.
Was she any good? Any good?
Okay.
I'll let you be the judge of that.
Okay.
It was entertaining.
Did she introduce the song by saying, hello, everyone, and welcome welcome to
Canada? Toyota's Patriots today.
All right. Eric, we'll see you when you get back. Safe travels.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Not a terrible update from him.
No. He's
with low standards.
Yeah, that's true.
With low expectations, and you know he didn't disappoint.
I want to try to rifle through. We only have about another 8 minutes to go here. I want to rifle through some of these. We have a game here.
I love
quick
games.
Over-under game from Nick, and you know how I love those, Andy. Let's see. He's over-under because I'm uncreative. Brady touchdowns 3.5
over.
Welker receptions 9.5
under.
Ocho touchdowns, 0.5.
Under.
Defensive interceptions, 2.5.
As opposed to offensive interceptions? I see what you're saying there. Very negative.
Once again, you have to take it to the bad place. Yes, there are offensive interceptions. Brady's thrown 10 of them.
No, I know, and I'd be negative if I brought those up, so I didn't. You know,
defensive interceptions, 2.5.
I am going to go with the under.
Defensive touchdowns, 0.5.
Over.
Wow, you think they're going to score a defensive touchdown today?
Yep.
I'm worried about Kerrigan. I was never on the Quinn bandwagon, but I really wanted the Pats to take Kerrigan. And so far, Andy, my gut is better than yours.
Guy, it says.
Oh, my guy is better than yours.
Doesn't my guy have 5 sacks?
Yeah, I was just going to look that up. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to see.
My guy.
Certainly in far fewer plays.
Your guy has the better Batman or Robin, whatever you want to call him, to work with. I'm not as sold on a Chris Along.
Quinn has 5 sacks.
And Kerrigan has 6.5.
And Kerrigan has 6.5.
He's been the better player. I mean,
Kerrigan's
he's had
been
more
the better
impact.
Player, but.
I think he plays on a better defense with more relevant players around him.
Certainly.
I'm not sold at that. I liked both players. I told you, Kerrigan grew on me as the process went on. I didn't like him initially because I think I had the Albert Haynesworth stigma in my mind that he was a high motor guy. And then the more I saw of him, the more I thought he could play, the more I heard about his reputation, working with other guys. I think it was Von Miller talked about how hard he works. Then he started to grow on me. I still had Quinn above him, but he was in my next tier that I would have certainly liked to have seen here.
It's time for the show the part of the show where Andy makes fun of me for doing a read. He says that, you know.
What are we reading for?
It's obvious. It's time now for the AutoTrader.com Emailer of the Week.
Oh!
This week's winner of a $100 gift card to the Patriots Pro Shop, courtesy of AutoTrader.com, is Nick. This is a different Nick. Although, I suppose it might not be a different Nick. It could be the same one. But we will be contacting to make sure. Hey, guys. Here's his email. little listener on listener crime, and you know how I tend to like those.
Okay.
I have an idea of what to do with what seems like half an hour of Jeff in Vegas. Personally, I think the gambler's perspective is an interesting one, but holy crap, give the guy a time limit. If I hear one more long, drawn-out story about the best place I'll never go, preceded by him talking about how he is, quote, swimming in money, end quote, I'm going to go insane. Hold him to only talking about the game, and it'll be 3 minutes tops. Then you can move on to people who actually have something to contribute, like Olivier. I have no idea how to spell that. Anyway, on to my serious question. What's going on in that backfield, and why does Bill seem to hate everyone who plays safety, including Patrick Chung? I think I remember him playing well, but at this point I'm not sure I remember. Also, why hasn't Ellis been cut? I'm with Andy. This team is simply wasting a bunch of roster spots, and I don't get it. That's Nick. I like Nick's email. A little information coupled with some listener-on-listener crime, which I love.
Well done, Nicholas.
By the way, we kept Jeff to, like, just over 4 minutes today, so we did a pretty good job.
We did shorten him down a little bit. But did you know, Nick, and you will now because you are the winner, that AutoTrader.com has brand spanking new cars? Well, you do now. Compare new cars and even special offers side by side so you can find the perfect deal on the one car that your head and heart agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace. Congratulations to Nick, this week's winner of the AutoTrader.com Emailer of the Week.
Well done, Nick.
We also have an email from Tim in Pensacola, you know, Fred's boy and your arch enemy.
Suddenly
your arch enemy.
Yeah, that really escalated.
It did. It I didn't see it coming, but it really did escalate in a hurry.
You think he cried today when he saw the Jaguars inactives come out and Taylor Price was on it?
Sorry I'm not able to call in, as I graduated yesterday with a major in pre-law and political science. As I promised, however, here is my poem on this game. There are two versions of the final line. Both versions are basically saying the same thing. The first is a politically correct version, and the second version is like something you guys would say on PFW in Progress.
When did we become open mic night for poetry?
I want to know when he promised that we were getting a missed that part.
But he's the second poem we've had today. I mean,
yes.
Did we solicit these? No formal
artistic training. Not that I'm aware of, but Redskins versus Patriots poem. None would say this week looks bleak, for it is the Redskins, the Patriots, we will meet.
Terrible. What was that? Where's the rhyme?
Bleak meat. But these fans may have some reason to worry, for according to Andy, the road may be bleak and blurry.
Worry and blurry. It's not the same word. It's not the same rhyme. Paul actually helped you out there by doing a little blurry and trying to make it rhyme with worry. Where did you graduate from? Dumbass University?
You're making me feel like Tony Maz. I can't compose myself.
Okay, keep going.
It is bad because at tight end we have a Jag.
It's bad because
some guy named
sucks.
Gronk, who according to Andy is not fit to carry Witten's bags.
Is this like free verse or whatever? Where's the rhyming here?
Jags, I heard you retarded or something.
But it didn't line up. Some guy named Gronk, who according to Andy is
Others would say our receivers cannot go very fast. But do not worry, things are not so bad.
What is going on here? I'll tell you what's bad.
On D, we have two versions of an unstoppable force that will bring Grossman much pain and possibly worse.
Where is the rhyming? Is this not supposed to rhyme?
The Redskins' O-line looks like crap. I foresee Anderson and Carter getting more than one sack.
I don't think it's supposed to rhyme, because none of these rhyme.
See, I think there are poems that don't rhyme, but
right.
I think this
free
is supposed,
verse and crap.
I think this is supposed
this
to be
This is
one
set
that
up
does.
Like it looks like it should rhyme, but it doesn't.
Pats fans wonder what the combination of Anderson and Carter should be called. Luckily, Tim from Pensacola has the call. Smash and crash is what they shall be called. Yes, you heard me right, Paul. With his power, Carter smashes defenders out of his way. In his speed, Anderson crashes into QBs all day.
Hey, Wayne Day!
Wayne Day! Neymar, I am the winner. Then look at the other side of the ball with Mike and Kyle Shanahan making the calls.
Close.
Ball call.
I would have just. No, right there. Just drop the S. Make the call.
Right.
Shanahan making the call.
It's like the bag on bags for Witten.
Right.
Just bag would have been better. Shanahan may think he is one of the greats, but without Elway for 11 years straight, another Super Bowl berth, he still awaits.
Even drop the S there. I could give you the poetic license. He still await.
PC version. And one more thing I have left to say. Grossman sucks, therefore we will win the day.
Okay, another rhyme. Thank you. Apparently the only rhyme he knows is A-Y words. Way, day, say.
Wow, I'm not reading his non-politically correct version.
In the end, another reason for the Pagers will be... Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I told you I wasn't
He got that rhyme right, though.
Yeah.
Runt, and
yeah.
Another word that is very offensive to women.
Cavern in Gainesville spreading the word in God slash Tebow country.
Worst poem we've ever had.
I've been hesitant to write in about this little streak we have going. For the 9 wins our Patriots have had, we've eaten Wingstop as our PPGS meal, and the losses we didn't have it due to being out of town. It's caught on with the guys at Wingstop, and they now listen to the show.
Hey,
excellent.
Welcome
Cavern.
Aboard, Wingstop. You can be a sponsor of a segment if you could send us wings.
Absolutely. Haven't convinced them to buy the paper, but with all the money spent, they owe us, right?
Yeah.
Attaches a photo with their prediction, they better be right. Go Pats. Thank you, Cavern. That's excellent.
It's a photo from Wingstop. Open that so I can see it on my screen.
I'm opening it as we speak. There we go. 34-10.
Oh, that's cool. They put it on their order.
Yes, Tom Brady, 380 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick.
That could happen. But I think that's a very good score right there. 34-10 Pats. You boys at Wingstop, feel free to send some up here. Are there any Wingstops in the greater Boston area?
Nathan, real quick, Warren was just a healthy scratch.
Right.
So you know, he was wondering why.
Proving he was healthy, he did his sprints before the game.
Another solid 1 o'clock kickoff for us, Andy. Very excited about that. Our time here is over, and we did our best to try to get people interested in the Redskins. I think we failed because it doesn't seem to be a lot of interest in the Redskins. But
a lot of interest in that poem based on the tweets that are flowing in about how bad it was.
If we did get you interested in this game, you want to make sure you head right over to Patriots.com, jump on the Curse Words with
Hopefully
Fred Kirsch.
Hopefully he's there.
His live in-game blog, direct from the nation's, well, close enough to the nation's capital. Right?
Sure.
What is it, Landover?
Landover, Maryland.
So make sure you join Fred Kirsch. Keep him from getting lonely. We will be back next week, I believe, at 2 p.m., as we go back to a 4:15 kickoff next week in Denver against the Tebows.
2 hours of trash and Tebow, baby.
So until then, right over to the Curse Words blog, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been the JetBlue Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots take on the Washington Redskins from FedEx Field.
Sanchez awaiting the snap. He's got it. Drops back. Stands at the goal line. Looks. Fires over the middle. Intercepted. At the 10, at the 5. Touchdown. Patriots. Rob Ninkovich.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com radio all week long for recaps and reaction to this week's game.
Fourth and goal. San Diego. Patriots 1 yard line. High formation behind Rivers. McMichael in motion left to right. Hand off in the backfield comes to Tolbert. He is hit and stopped. Patriots defense holds. Gerard Mayo.
We look forward to hearing from you on next week's edition of the JetBlue Patriots pregame social.